Take your Bibles. We've got 9 minutes. Leviticus 4. It's the longest of all of the chapters that we got to cover. 35 verses, okay? But I'm going to highlight a few things down through here because this is the sin offering. It's unique. It's the first one that's optional. It's not mandatory like 1, 2, and 3. This is the responsibility that we have to bring our sacrifices to the Lord. And so the sin offering, there's the burnt offering in chapter 1, and then there was the grain offering, and then there was the peace offering that we saw. And those were voluntary, excuse me. This one is mandatory. Chapter 4 and chapter 5 are the mandatory ones. And why are they mandatory? Well, stop and think about it. This is about the sin offering. And last time I checked, the Word of God's crystal clear. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God kind of reflects that here in chapter 4 as he talks about the sin offering that's required before him. He mentions four different groups of people here. You'll notice them. First, he says in verse 2, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a person sins unintentionally, inadvertently, okay, against any of the commandments of the Lord, in anything which ought not to be done, and does any of them." And now then he goes down and talks about any of these persons. He'll mention in verse 3, the anointed priest, if the anointed priest sins. He'll mention down in verse 13, if the whole congregation of Israel sins, he'll mention them. He'll speak about over in verse 22, when a ruler has sinned. And down in verse 27, if any one of the common people sins unintentionally. Hey, guess what? That's everybody, right? Listen, the rulers aren't above us, right? They too fall short of the glory of God. Listen, the pastoral leadership, the priests, we can never get on a high horse and say, we've got it all right, because we don't. We fall short of the glory of God too. Everyone has sinned. Paul would make this emphasis over in Romans chapter 3. Listen, the universality of sin, it's affected all of us, and all of us have fallen short. Elsewhere in Scripture, you'd see there's none righteous. No, not one. We all, as Isaiah would say in Isaiah 53, have gone astray at some point. Well, what do you do? What do we do in those moments when we have sinned? It affects everyone. It affects everyone. And you know, the amazing thing about the Bible, it doesn't matter if we're the first man and the first woman in the Garden of Eden there in paradise, all the way to the end, the last chapter of Revelation, those last two chapters, which give us paradise regained and remade and the presence. God's work all throughout all the chapters in between those two is the story of how he is coming and bringing the answer to sin and the remedy to sin so that we can have access to him, so that we can walk with him. And so when we read about this in chapter 4, the sin offering, we realize and we're reminded that from the very beginning, when God was describing and detailing how we approach him, how we worship him, he made a provision for sinners like you and me. Praise God tonight. There is a provision. We are not wandering aimlessly. We're not wandering without any hope. There's a provision that's been made. Now, why did he make this provision, and why is this sacrifice a little bit different from the others? I mean, there are some differences here as he talks about it. Some things are similar. For example, when the ruler came, or when the priest came, or when a person came and they brought their sacrifice, they had to do just like with the others. They had to lay their hand on the head of their offering, whether that was a bull, as it's mentioned for the priest, or whether it was a goat or a lamb, as there's different sacrifices that are required for different levels of leadership or different people. When that's brought, when you confess your sin, it's a creature. Now, it's the wages of sin is death. Something, someone has to die. And that's why the blood is spilt. The blood spilling is a picture of death. It's, you know, when the blood pours out, that means death. And so these creatures, just like the others, you come and you lay your hand and you identify and say, this is what I deserve for my sin. I realize I am guilty and I need God's forgiveness. And by offering that up, now we know, of course, we'll read elsewhere in Leviticus, we'll read that the blood of bulls and goats, as Hebrews would remind us, The life of the life is in the blood. But the blood of bulls and goats can't take away human's sin. We need a perfect human who gave his life's blood for you and for me so that we could be set free from sin. Praise God. As we read in Peter tonight, Jesus came and he died once. Amen. The just for the unjust. The sufficient substitutionary sacrifice was offered in our place. And just as sin is universal, it affects everyone. Listen, it destroys everyone. What's amazing here is when it mentions the priest. You say, well, why the priest first? I mean, if the anointed priest sins, verse 3, notice this, bringing guilt on the people. Leadership matters, especially in God's house. That's why I think there's a warning over in James. Listen, let not many of you become teachers, right? Scary thing. It's a heavy thing if we really realize that, the weight of it. That's why we respect it. In Hebrews 13, those who are our elders, those who God has appointed over us that have to give an account for our souls. It's a scary thing to think about that for a moment. But sometimes, listen, you realize God, this would play out even in Israel's day. Listen, stop and think. It had already played out in the book of Exodus when Aaron had failed in his responsibility when Moses was on the mountain to lead the people in authentic worship of God. He led them in idolatry, worshiping the golden calf. It wasn't long after that happened that these commandments are given. And so it's serious, it's significant. And I never want to lead the church astray in any way in worshiping the one true God. I want our worship to be authentic. I want it to be pure. I want us to hunger and thirst for righteousness that we can, you know, be satisfied with what God offers. But you need to pray for us as leaders to do that. But if we sin, you know what? We're no better than you. We have a sacrifice for sin we call on. Praise God, it's enough for me and it's enough for you. It's interesting, though, it's not just the spiritual leaders, the anointed priests. As I said, over in verse 22, it also mentions the ruler. When the ruler has sinned and done something unintentionally against the commandments of God, he too has to bring a sacrifice. And he brings an offering of a kid of a goat, a male without blemish. And he, like it says in for the priest, in verse 24, it says he lays his hand on the head of the goat and kills it at the place where they killed the burnt offering before the Lord. This is a sin offering. And this is important to realize. I know sometimes this is the problem with those that get in a power, right? Those who are in authority, they think they're above questioning, they're above being held responsible and accountable. But no, they have to be held accountable just as everyone else does. That's what our Constitution is supposed to emphasize, right? We all are under the law. Yeah, I wonder where they got that concept. The Bible. Amen. They got it from the Word. And a proper understanding of how we're made in God's image, a proper understanding of our roles and relationships as those made in His image. And so the amazing thing is they too are held accountable and they have to confess their sins. And then, of course, if anyone in the whole congregation, a person or a common person sins, they too lay their hands on the head of that creature that is offered, whether it's a bull, a goat, a lamb, they offer it, they confess. And you know what? We're all defiled by sin, but praise God, there's a sacrifice that can atone for us for our unintentional sins. To be atoned, atonement that's provided means that at one moment we can be made right with God. We who are far from Him, that separation can be reconciled and forgiveness can be found. Praise God. There is hope for everyone tonight. Now, here's what happened, though. In the midst of all these sacrifices and all the ritual and all the routine, what happened was the people got caught up in the ritual and routine. They forgot what the whole purpose was to establish and maintain the proper relationship with the Creator, with the Redeemer, with the Sustainer. And they got so caught up in the rituals and the routines that it just became ritual and routine. And that's the scary thing. That you can go through the rituals and routines. You'll find this in the prophets. What are these people just trampling my court? They're drawing near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, God says. You know what? Ritual and routine is a very scary thing, right? Religiosity does not save us. Hello, right? Drop a mic. Religion does not save. Just because I'm in the church building doesn't mean I'm in Christ. Christ. or that I'm right. Just because I go to church does not mean I go to heaven. It doesn't. Don't get caught up in ritual and routine. Pray for that earnest refreshment, that revival in our hearts every time we come. I want our hearts, as Danny said, I want us to be filled with the Spirit when we come into the house of the Lord, to worship Him, to praise Him, to give thanks for what Christ has done for us. Don't ever rest on your activity as sufficient to make you and I acceptable to Him. We rest on what Christ has done for us. We rest on that sacrifice. Our righteousness is by faith, a trust in what Christ has done. And praise God, listen, the reason we need to do that is because we can't make ourselves pure. You stop and think how frequently they had to come. I mean, these are just inadvertent sins. You know, a failure to do the right thing. This isn't when they blatantly sinned. This is for the inadvertent sins. Sometimes that's because of ignorance. I didn't know that. And then we do. And say, I don't need to do that. And yet all of this time, they had to continually come time and time again and offer their sacrifices. And what they needed to realize is, wait, this high priest is having to offer a sacrifice for himself. He's not even, you know, every day he had to do that before he even started offering the sacrifices for the people. And the high priest, even on Yom Kippur, a picture of the burnt offering or the sin offering that's offered for the sins of the nation, in case they missed any, right? Let's cover all of them for the past year. Make sure we're covered right with God as His people. They got caught up in that routine. And in some way, routines can cause us not really to look into our hearts and look and see, am I right? Am I living right today? That's why I love what a preacher used to say, live close and clean, right? Each day, live close and clean. Because you know what? We want to never have something that hinders our relationship with the Lord. I think one of my favorite things I've underlined is the last verse here, the last phrase, that the priest shall make atonement for his sin that he has committed. And this is my favorite, the part. It shall be forgiven him. It says it over, the same thing over in verse 26. It shall be forgiven him. It says it over and over again in this chapter. You'll see that after everyone presents their offering for sin, the beautiful thing is, it shall be forgiven him. Praise God. Now, y'all didn't bring your sacrifices tonight. I don't see bulls, don't see goats, don't see lambs, because the one's already come. Amen. Don't ever forget that. And it's not just that I know the Bible verse that tells me He was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. No, I got on my knees and I realized I did an exchange. And I said, my sin, your righteousness, I'll trust in that. And then rest in that. Praise God, it's enough. We need that to take away the sin, to take away our uncleanliness, to take away the guilt. And praise God, Christ suffered that He could bring us to God. And our high priest still is there, interceding for you and for me. As John would say, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So praise the Lord, that still is available to you and me as it was to God's people. So let's give thanks for that tonight. Amen. Father, we come. Lord, we're not just broken. God, we are those who are broke. God, we need you to fix us. God, forgive us when we think we can. But Lord, thank you that your Son Jesus gave Himself for us, paid the penalty that we deserved, offers us a free righteousness that we can obtain, and Lord, or even achieve. And thank you, Lord, that it's enough. And God, may we rest in that tonight. Thank you that your love for us is an everlasting love. And that, Lord, nothing will separate us from the great love that you have for us in Christ Jesus. God, may we live close and clean. May we have a word to share with the world around us who's, Lord, trying to find answers in life and to make sense of it right now. And God, I pray that, Lord, they would see our lives, Lord, that we wouldn't act like we're above anyone, Lord. We're all wretched. Lord, I hope, pray that we'd realize, like Paul would say in 1 Timothy chapter 1, that it's a trustworthy statement deserving all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I'm the foremost. God, help us to realize we're just the bottom of the bucket, the dredge. Lord, if you can do something with these dregs, Lord, you can do something with anyone else's life. And God, may we bring them the message of hope that found us, the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And we'll give you the glory and honor, Lord Jesus, when we're there in your presence and never have to worry about this sin anymore. We have you to look forward to each and every day. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.